a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
Coming up on Global Business, U.S. jobs numbers released for the month of February on the heels of a strong State of the Union speech from President Joe Biden. I'm Karina Mitchell in Washington, D.C. This year's meetings, a key phrase has been, quote, new quality productive forces. Chinese President Xi Jinping repeatedly stressed the importance of tech-driven innovation encouraging entrepreneurs across the country. CGTN's Wu Lei visits two tech companies in Shanghai and brings us more.
Chinese President Xi Jinping has called for technological research to be strengthened to achieve new breakthroughs in core technologies. During a panel discussion with members of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, or CPPCC, on Wednesday in Beijing, the focus of the Chinese leader has received a positive response from tech entrepreneurs spanning the country.
I'm deeply encouraged. We're in an industry that combines artificial intelligence and advanced manufacturing. China has especially paid deep attention to this sector in recent years. I feel the industry is filled with promising opportunities.
Li Tong's company has been designing and producing robots for years. Today, almost 50,000 robots have been exported to 60 countries and regions around the world.
Attention, the robot is coming.
These smart robots have been used in hotels, restaurants, and hospitals for delivering food, medicines, and other products.
Your delicious meal is here.
Many tech companies like this one apply innovative technologies for boosting international expansion. With the booming development of artificial intelligence, big data, and cloud computing, more innovative robots are emerging in the market. This medical company is working closely with Shanghai Jiao Tong University to introduce cutting-edge technologies to produce new medical equipment for patients.
Our soft robots can achieve the same effect as conventional rehabilitation robots at just one-tenth of the cost. The new quality productive forces could significantly reduce costs while improving efficiency, enabling a broader array of practical applications.
Many entrepreneurs say they will invest more in technological innovation and high-quality growth, and they believe this would further promote the high-end, intelligent, and green transformation of key industries. Wu Lei, CGTN, Shanghai.
Welcome back. U.S. President Joe Biden delivered his final State of the Union address of his first term on Thursday. He highlighted his achievements in a high-stakes speech aimed at persuading voters to keep him in office for another 4 years. Biden also went after his likely opponent, former President Donald Trump, without mentioning by name. Nathan King has more.
This was the last State of the Union speech of the U.S. president's first term, and in many ways the kickoff of his campaign for a second. In the wake of Super Tuesday's primary voting, when it became clear Biden will face Donald Trump for a second time, the president used this speech to label his predecessor, as he called him, 13 times, as an enemy of democracy, both at home and abroad.
Now it's we who face an unprecedented moment in the history of the Union. And yes, my purpose tonight is to wake up the Congress and alert the American people that this is no ordinary moment either. Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today. What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack at both at home and overseas.
Unusual for a State of the Union speech, Biden began with foreign policy, urging Republicans to act and pass a long-delayed foreign aid package that includes $60 billion for Ukraine. Meanwhile, Biden celebrated the expansion of NATO, saluting the Prime Minister of Sweden, a guest at the speech whose nation officially joined the alliance earlier in the day. Biden also labeled Trump as an enemy of democracy at home, condemning what he called Republican lies that play down the January 6, 2021 insurrection that threatened the lives of the representatives in the very chamber where his speech was being delivered.
Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%.
This was a fiery, feisty, and combative speech. Biden took on rhetorically the Republicans, who heckled and interrupted him as he laid out policy priorities from reproductive rights to higher taxes for billionaires and corporations and on immigration. On the war between Israel and Hamas, he tried to balance support for Israel against growing anger at the treatment of Palestinians, announcing a short-term plan to build a pier off Gaza's coast to deliver more aid, and a long-term warning Israel that the only real solution is the two-state solution. One of the most difficult problems facing Biden's re-election is his age, with polls showing most Americans don't think he should run again. He addressed that issue head-on, spinning his age as an asset.
I know it may not look like it, but I've been around a while. When you get to be my age, certain things become clearer than ever. I know the American story. Again and again, I've seen the contest between competing forces and the battle for the soul of our nation, between those who want to pull America back to the past and those who want to move America into the future.
Biden's vigor was perhaps the best answer to his critics, and despite the odd stumble, he delivered his speech with passion. He seemed to be relishing the occasion, but he's going to have to keep this up for 8 more months, hitting the campaign trail on Friday in the key swing state of Pennsylvania. Meanwhile, Biden's predecessor and would-be successor, Donald Trump, rebutted the State of the Union in real time on his social media platform, slamming the speech overall as angry and polarizing. This week, we'll see Trump consolidate his hold on the Republican Party with a new hand-picked leadership team running its national committee, including his daughter-in-law in a top position. And as more states hold primary elections, he's on track to clinch the delegates needed to lock up the Republican nomination by the end of this month. If, as they say, a week is a long time in politics, then 8 months is a very long time indeed. Joe Biden is going to have to prove he has the stamina for the fight. Donald Trump seems ready to fight already. But do the American voters, who don't really want either of these candidates, have the stamina to last the political season for that long? Nathan King, CGTN, Washington.
Biden's address was also a test of his ability to connect with voters on the economy. It has bounced back after the global COVID-19 pandemic, showing resilience and strength. Yet polls heading into his speech suggested voters aren't convinced, especially over lingering inflation. So the latest job numbers released hours after Biden spoke are timely, as Owen Fairclough reports.
U.S. President Joe Biden used his State of the Union address to stake his claim for a second term, partly based on the strength of the economy.
It's because of you America's coming back. It's because of you our future is brighter.
And the latest employment numbers might help. 250,000 jobs added in February, though overall employment edged up to 3.9% from 3.7%, as did wages, now 4.3% higher year on year. That job growth beat expectations, even if it's a slowdown from blockbuster numbers in December and January. But both a slowdown in job creation and slightly higher unemployment are counterintuitively good for the central bank. The Federal Reserve has been raising its benchmark interest rate aggressively to drive down inflation that stood at just over 3% in January.
Ongoing progress toward our 2% objective for inflation is not assured.
And its head, Jerome Powell, told lawmakers earlier this week he wants to see the job market tighten a little before he's ready to cut that rate that's driven up the cost of big consumer outlays such as mortgages.
We can approach that step carefully and thoughtfully and with greater confidence. And when we reach that confidence, the expectation is we will do so sometime this year. We can then begin dialing back the restriction on our policy.
Powell, Biden, and crucially for him, voters will have a better idea of how much inflation has dropped to meet that 2% goal when the latest data is released on March the 12th. Owen Fairclough, CGTN, Washington.
Already struggling with basic necessities, including food and medicine, Haitians now find themselves grappling with an escalation in violence from gangs seeking to oust Prime Minister Ariel Henry. The Haitian government declared a 72-hour state of emergency and a night curfew on Sunday. But the measures have had little effect as gangs now control about 80% of the capital, Port-au-Prince. Dan Collins has more.
A fresh wave of violence and chaos is sweeping through Haiti, driven by a week-long mutiny against the country's Prime Minister, Ariel Henry. Powerful gangs have united behind a former police officer turned gang leader, Jimmy Cherizier, known as Barbecue, in demanding that he step down.
If Ariel Henry doesn't resign, if the international community continues to support him, we'll be heading straight for a civil war that will lead to genocide.
Armed gangs have set fire to police stations and looted a food market this week, just as half of Haitians don't have enough to eat. The new episode of gang violence follows the prison break of more than 4,000 inmates earlier this week, plunging the small nation further into hell. Now the Caribbean country's main port says gang-led sabotage and vandalism has forced it to suspend operations. That has left stranded more than 20 trucks carrying vital equipment, medical supplies and food, says the UN's World Food Programme. People are desperate.
I'm an artist, I'm a singer. The gangs force me out of my house. I have no place to sleep. I sleep on the street. Look, I sleep in this ministry. I'm asking that the country be given a chance because the children want to go to school. Look at the children. The children are the future of the country.
Tens of thousands of Haitians are internally displaced and there are massive fuel shortages. The UN's Humanitarian Affairs Agency warned that Haiti's health system was nearing collapse. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Henry is in Puerto Rico after attempting to fly back to Port-au-Prince on Tuesday, but finding the airport closed as soldiers repelled attempts by gunmen to seize it. Many Haitians are calling for him to go and say he's part of the problem.
We see that this is a country that has been abandoned. It's a country that has been without hope for over 31 months, run by a team of gangs through Ariel Henry. We're here to express our satisfaction with the decision taken by a whole group of political parties to set up a presidential council in the National Palace.
Those calls for a political transition were echoed by the U.S. State Department, which stopped short of calling for Henry to resign.
What we are saying to the Prime Minister is that he needs to expedite the transition to empowered and inclusive governance, including the appointment of a transition council.
Henry flew to Nairobi to try to bring a UN-backed force of 1,000 Kenyan police officers to retake control from the gangs. Haiti has plunged into deeper chaos and lawlessness since the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse 3 years ago. Since the beginning of the year, the UN says nearly 1,200 people have been killed and hunger has reached unprecedented catastrophic levels. Dan Collins, CGTN.
Over in Europe, official data show that the Eurozone economy was little changed at the end of 2023. In the third quarter, Eurozone GDP fell by 0.1% and was unchanged across the wider EU bloc. That's allowed the EU to narrowly skirt recession. Within individual member states, GDP fell 0.3% for the full year in Germany, the EU's biggest economy. Job growth in the Eurozone was confirmed at 0.3% in the last quarter compared to the 3 months earlier. And it was also slightly higher across the European Union as a whole. Now, Hong Kong recently removed property cooling measures and home buying is on the rise once again. As Patrick Falk reports, developers and buyers are both capitalizing on the changes.
With its seaside surroundings and lush green mountain views, it's easy to see why Hong Kong's south side is one of the city's most desirable areas to live. It boasts some of the highest-end properties Hong Kong has to offer. At this development on the tip of the coastal market town of Stanley, workers are putting the final touches to the latest luxury project that's about to come onto the property market.
My best guess is that they have been waiting, right? And, you know, it's a smart move, it's a smart strategy, right? Because the market environment should be more favorable now.
The Hong Kong government took major steps to restore vigor to the housing market by removing all additional levies on home buying imposed a decade ago, designed at the time to cool red-hot demand. That includes the scrapping of combined stamp duty of 15% for non-residents when purchasing property and extra duties on owners who sold within 2 years of buying a home.
Now that it's all been taken away, that pent-up demand, we see it driving additional transactions, and we think over the next 12 months, the number of monthly transactions is probably going to be closer to 5K.
Property platform Spacious says it's seen a 57% increase in sales inquiries in the days since the new measures were announced. It follows a nine-month-long losing streak for the real estate industry. And the government's home price index fell by 23% in January from a peak set in September 2021.
Here at Henderson Land's Belgravia Place project in Kowloon, all 138 units on offer were snapped up by buyers within 4 hours of going up for sale last Sunday. And in an indication of an immediate pickup in the market, the units were 31 times oversubscribed.
Still, analysts say the medium-term outlook for property in Hong Kong could be challenging. High interest rates in particular are likely to put a cap on any sector recovery for the foreseeable future. But any boost to the industry will have a positive effect on the economy and can also help lift Hong Kong's struggling equities market.
So, of course, there are a lot of factors that affect the stock market, including, investor confidence, external factors. We think the budget, if it stimulates the economy, should have a positive impact on the stock market in the long run. I'm hoping that the shape of recovery is sustainable. We're not looking for a short-term rebound, but we're looking for sustainable growth in the Hong Kong economy.
Hong Kong's property sector accounts for 8.5% of its GDP, and if the momentum in sales continues, it puts the city in a firmer position to get economic growth back on track. Patrick Falk, CGTN, Hong Kong.
It was almost 10 years ago that Google released data showing that just 17% of its tech-related jobs were held by women. The revelation helped set off numerous initiatives in the tech industry to diversify the workforce. Mark New takes a look at whether the situation has really changed and whether AI is factoring into the equation.
Women make up less than a third of the global tech workforce, according to the World Bank. They account for just 16% of students earning bachelor's degrees in computer and information sciences.
Not much of women in technology. I was one of the maybe three girls altogether in the class. And then I was placed in my first internship, and I was again the only woman.
Despite gaining work experience while she was a student and then graduating with honors, Davoud is still looking for a full-time programming job.
It's a struggle.
The National Center for Science and Engineering Statistics found that only 38% of women majoring in computer science were employed to work within the tech sector, compared to 53% of men.
There are two problems when it comes to women in tech. One is the attraction of women, and the other one is the retention of women in the tech industry.
Vasu worked at Cisco for 12 years, where she began as the only woman on her engineering team. She led efforts to recruit more women and eventually founded her own benefit corporation, DiverseUp, to help match women with employers. Her latest startup, Better AI, solves complex problems such as on VinoVas, which uses AI to sort through thousands of grape varieties to match the best wine to your taste. Vasu says without women helping to write AI algorithms in the tech industry, the chances for biased data increases.
So that's why I'm really encouraging women to participate in AI field, and try to learn, understand, and see what can we do and should do to make the tools better, because AI thrives on diversity of thought.
She also says AI-driven online learning platforms have the potential to level the playing field for women seeking to gain tech knowledge.
If women want to work from home and just learning by themselves, this AI tool really can help them to develop their technical skills. Leverage AI to teach you what you don't know, because a lot of times we struggle what we don't know when we want to learn a subject.
Vasu says a number of studies have shown a correlation between diverse workforces and increased company performance. She also emphasizes the importance of helping women return to tech companies after they've taken time off to raise children and to encourage girls to explore computer science at a young age. Mark New, CGTN, Mountain View, California.
Whether it's about your education, the home you live in, or the items you buy, your money has a story to tell. Because every business story is a human story. Global Business.
African Americans form a crucial voting bloc that U.S. President Joe Biden needs to win re-election in November. But a coalition of black pastors is pushing him to do more to achieve a ceasefire in Gaza. Sally Patterson has more from Dallas.
Hymns of joy, devotion, and peace directed at a higher power. But congregants at this megachurch in Dallas, Texas, hope their prayers will be answered too by U.S. President Joe Biden. 5 months into a war in Gaza and thousands of lost lives, preaching here has become increasingly political.
Whenever God is calling us to a higher purpose,
it's one of hundreds of African American churches calling on Biden to end his support for Israel.
As a faith leader who believes that we live in a moral universe that calls for us to always stand against any injustice, anything that brings about death needlessly, we have a responsibility to speak out and speak up.
Churches like this one have influence, broadcasting its gospel to up to 15,000 online worshippers, some of whom see historical similarities between the struggles faced by Palestinians and by African Americans.
I see that there is definitely a strong sense in the black community that we can relate to what's going on. Innocent people's lives are being taken, kids' lives are being taken. In the black community, that happens all the time.
And Biden needs young, politically engaged voters on his side come November.
If he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing to where he's showing that justice and he's having an action plan behind that, then you might not get a lot of followers behind him.
For more than half a century, black voters have helped propel Democratic presidents into the White House.
This is a demographic President Joe Biden needs if he wants to retain the Oval Office. 92% of black voters chose Biden in 2020, according to a study by the Pew Research Center. But now community leaders here are warning him not to take their vote for granted.
Congregants here may be calling for a change in political direction, but within limits. Leaders stress for them, Biden still trumps his political opponent on the ballot. And many black Americans say the U.S. has a duty to help Israel defend itself, with more than 100 hostages still being held in Gaza.
When you think about African Americans being the most churched in this society, this is the community of people that would support Israel just based on the biblical history that ties Christianity and Judaism together. These progressive black pastors are out of step with most Christian African Americans in America.
But with just about 8 months to go until the presidential election, Biden's up against the clock to gain the faith of America's black voters. Sally Patterson, CGTN, Dallas, Texas.
Sierra Leone and China have cooperated on medical care for over 50 years. Since 1973, more than 500 Chinese medical staff have visited the country to help in its health care services. Eric Kawa reports from Freetown.
In a significant transition for the Chinese medical team, ceremonies were held in honor of the outgoing and incoming medical personnel.
As the 24th Chinese medical team bids farewell, there are hopes that the 25th badge will continue in strengthening the bilateral ties between Sierra Leone and China, especially in the health sector.
Over 50 years after the first medical team arrived in Sierra Leone, authorities say the Sierra Leone-China cooperation continues to play a significant role in the health sector.
I think what one of the areas of real interest for us is higher-level tertiary care. It looks like they've got some surgeons in there, they've got some specialists on the team. So for them to be able to take on some of the more complex surgeries, much more complex cases emanating from the Western rural will help us decant or reduce the pressure on Connaught Hospital, reduce the pressure on emergency, reduce the pressure on some of these other hospitals in the country. So Team 25 is going to be very busy, and we look forward to working with them.
Statistics from the Chinese embassy show that the outgoing medical team has treated more than 20,000 patients, conducted over 400 surgeries, and trained many local medical staff during its 1 year stay in Sierra Leone. CGTN caught up with the outgoing and incoming captains of the 24th and the 25th China medical teams.
I will share my experience with the next batch of the medical team. We will enhance the glory of the China medical team even more.
The first thing that we could try my best to treat more people and care more people here. And second, we also focus on the training courses, not just training ourselves, but also training doctors and nurses here. And besides, we have the plan that we could do the first aid training. This could help more people to save their life.
Chinese Ambassador to Sierra Leone, Wang Qing, says a meeting was just held in partnership with the country's Ministry of Health and the UN Population Fund as part of the Chinese Global Development and South-South Cooperation Assistance Fund, aimed at improving women's health and reaching vulnerable women at risk of maternal mortality and cervical cancer.
All of this helped a lot for the human capital development of Sierra Leone, which is one of the pillars for the economic and social development. So in the future, I think we will continue to promote and our cooperation in health sector. So we are very glad to see and Team 25 just arrived and in place of Team 24.
The 25th batch comprises 21 medical professionals who have been deployed to support the country's health sector and are specialized in pediatrics, gynecology, and ultrasound, among other areas. Eric Kawa, reporting for CGTN in Freetown, Sierra Leone.
And that is our show. I'm Karina Mitchell in Washington, D.C. Take care.